shall we gather at the river, the beautiful... No, not quite right, that is it? Now, let's try it again. Shall we gather at the river? Shall we gather at the river, the beautiful river? Shall we gather at the river, the beautiful river of God? Shall we gather at the river, the beautiful river of God? Come on now, everybody, round your radio sets this evening, right, and take up the refrain. Shall we gather? You must all know it. Amazing what you can do with the things people leave in the studio, isn't it now? Canteen utensils, knives, forks. Beautiful tune, that, yes. I've had that on my mind, the tune, for weeks now, ever since seeing the film, The Europeans. Anyone seen it? It's based on a novel, or is it a short story by Henry James? Not a great story, at least I didn't think so, but to my mind, a splendid movie. Splendid photography, music and acting, and that happened to be the theme. There's that cello passage at the beginning that returns throughout the movie, hauntingly. Etc. And has returned, or recoursed through my head, what's left of it, these past few weeks. Slow moving, perhaps. Not my head, the tune. Not everyone's cup of tea or coffee, but if it appealed to me, there's no reason why it shouldn't appeal to anyone listening to me this evening. What a grandiloquent place New England must be in the autumn, where the film was set, and where I'd be set too, had I the choice. What a sumptuous, sensuous, mind-enervating, spirit-soaring, imagination-provoking country. Has something to do with, as is the case almost anywhere, I suppose, with the chemical composition of the soil. At least the colours, the magnificent range and intensity of colour in New England is the result of the biological or the botanical balances, rather, or imbalances of certain nitrates or phosphates in the soil. Well, whatever it has to do with, there can't be any place on earth more beautiful, more awe-inspiring than this in the autumn. But beauty is wherever you look for it, even in your looking glass, if you wish. I mean, if you don't think you're an oil painting yourself, no one else will. The point is, anyhow, that however blighted the landscape might be by human enterprise, by factories, power stations, electricity pylons, striding across the countryside, united by kilometre after kilometre of cable, bearing heat, light, a warm bath or a television picture to thousands or the millions that live at the end of them, however unsightly, however intolerable, how nature-disturbing it might all be, you can still raise your eyes to the sky where the cloud formations, the light is constantly changing. As it is now, glancing out of our studio window, what I can see, rather, of the sky, very small patch of sky, what sky isn't obscured by this concrete monstrosity I'm broadcasting to you from now. Anyhow, you can still raise your eyes to the sky where the cloud formations, the light is constantly changing, and you can breathe ever so silently the polluted air, as I'm doing in the studio now. You can breathe ever so silently a little prayer of relief. What a world we're creating for ourselves, or what a world we have created, if you can call it that, for ourselves, and are in the process of bequeathing to future generations. It's not necessarily the meek who are going to inherit the earth anymore. It's the poor, luckless devils who haven't had much chance to do anything about it that are going to have it all thrust into their laps. Shall we gather at the river? Yes, but even that's been polluted by the effluvium of a myriad factories and the refuse and excreta of the societies that have planted themselves along its banks. Taken a trip along the Rhine lately, or the Meuse? Have you taken a trip, a boat ride across the Bodensee, Lake Constance, to Anglophiles? Have you taken a swim in the North Sea or the Mediterranean? I wouldn't, personally. And as for the blue Danube, the brown, the black, or the grey might be more appropriate. And did you realise, I didn't until yesterday, that we're liquidating, that we're erasing from the face of the earth each and every single day of the year an area of rainforest equal to the size of a Belgian province there, 9 of them, incidentally. In little more than 1 week, an area the size of Belgium, in other words, of rainforest, of life-sustaining, oxygen-producing rainforest, is erased from the face of the earth, with all the consequent effects to the atmosphere, the ozone layer, and so on. Any wonder, then, that the temperature of the world is slowly rising, that the ice caps are slowly melting, and that we're slowly in the process of scorching ourselves out of existence. I wonder what you think about it all, Mr. and Mrs. Pigeon, sitting out there so blissfully making love on the roof of our studio. At least I was always told that's how the birds do it, you know, rug beaks and exchange whatever they exchange in that entertaining little ritual. Possibly they think about it more than some human beings do. It's my impression that not so many of our fellow species do think about the tremendous ecological problems that we're giving ourselves, all in the name of progress. I'm sick to death of the word. What progress? And where's it all getting us?